And I'm sure you've had pancakes with syrup and whipped cream and all those fun things since the fast is over. I can tell you, it's been such a special time for our church. I have felt a new level of consecration, a new level of the weight of glory upon our services and upon our people. And get ready, 2026 is going to be an amazing year of not just being close to God, but seeing the breakthrough power of God being manifested in our lives. Amen. Now, as we closed up the fast last week, I mentioned that in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives us three pillars, if you will, three pillars of the Christian life, three things that he spoke in the context of regularity, of common practices. And we put up on the screen how Jesus literally said, when you pray, when you fast, and when you give. And we've spent the first month of this year focusing on when you pray and when you fast, because they've been combined together. And I really feel from the Lord to kind of unpack this whole concept of when you give. And I can't tell you how powerful, how important having the mindset of giving to be part of your regular lifestyle. When you think about 2026, if you really want to see the blessing of God, you have to include the concept, the faith concept of giving. And he said, when you give, and I want to read that Matthew chapter 6. I have a couple of I want to read from Matthew 6 in one other place. But Matthew 6 puts it this way. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. And I was mentioning last week how much I love the fact that God tells us, I see everything that you do for me. Every time you pray, every time you fast and say, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to have lunch today because I want to get close to you. The Lord sees it and he promises to reward us. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the same goes for our giving. Giving is so special, so powerful, and so pleasing to God. And there are amazing promises associated with giving. So in order to connect this principle to our daily practices and our lifestyle, I want to read a second verse to hopefully anchor the way we think about this. Because I want to say up front, before I announce this to you, it's how you think and see that determines what it feels like and what giving actually does for you. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of seeing. And so Proverbs 22:9 is as follows. This is the ESV. And I'm mentioning that it's in the ESV for a very specific reason. Let me read it to you first, though. Whoever has a bountiful eye. Everybody say bountiful eye. Okay? Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. And I want to tell you the title of the message today is The Bountiful Eye, because as we think about 2026, when we end today, we want to pray, God, give me a bountiful eye, A bountiful eye is a special way of thinking that actually releases the spirit of giving in your life to the people around you. And the reason I mentioned that ESV is because the ESV is a more literal translation. There are kind of literal, and then some are more kind of dynamic equivalent translations, in the sense that they're trying to just capture the meaning of what the author said. And so, for example, in the NIV, it says the generous will themselves be blessed, because the translators considered that a bountiful eye was an idiom that was used so long ago that people may not get it. But in the original language, it literally uses the word I. And so I want to bring that to your attention. And I want to pray in a moment to really take in the message. But a bountiful eye sees everything around you differently. Okay? And that word I, look at the slide here. It has this progression about it, that the literal definition is it's of a physical eye, but then it says as showing mental qualities. So it takes what we see physically, but then what we see as we think about it. But then it goes on one more. It says of mental and spiritual faculties, which means that a bountiful eye is not just seeing. It's seeing, thinking, and then thinking in the realm of the Spirit. Like the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. So a bountiful eye is part of what it means to be walking in the Spirit. And I can tell you up front before we pray, a bountiful eye, here's what it does. It sees God's heart and God's hands as big and generous. And so how do you see the heart of God and how do you see his hands? I'm telling you, a bountiful eye says, man, God is big. God is loving. God is generous. And I want to be like God. Do you want to be like God? Because it says there's a blessing that is released in our lives when we are like him. And so let me pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up my brothers and sisters, and I pray that there would be such an openness to be, Lord, inundated, baptized afresh with a bountiful eye. God, that we would see this life on a daily basis the way you want us to see. You want us to see you first and to see you as generous, and to represent you as generous people. So God, I pray that you would release a spirit of generosity right now. I pray that 2026 would be marked, Lord, by us walking in a spirit of generosity. I pray, Lord, that fear would be broken, that hesitancy would be broken when it comes to generosity. But Lord, that we would be ready and willing, because you have given us, Lord, not just physical eyes, but Lord, our thinking and our spiritual, Lord, a seeing would be based on who you are and what you do and how you want us to live. So bless this word, God. God, I pray that even as we're contemplating this, that, Lord, when this service is done and people are worshiping you for the most part from their homes, I pray that such a generous, loving spirit would fall. And this very day, Lord, that there would be a sense of abundance in every house. So, God, I trust you to do it. I thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. So let me say a couple things before we apply this. First of all, bountiful eyes are how our faith gets applied to the challenges of provision, right? So provision is a challenge for us as human beings. I mean, most people, they are always struggling for provision. It's the nature of life. We get up and work because we need provision, and so it's a reality. And look, even if you ask a wealthy person about provision, they will tell you it's been very hard. It's been a lot of hard work. And so provision, we take that very seriously. But bountiful eyes actually get applied to the challenges of provision. So that when we have, when we see the challenges of provision in other people's lives, and even when we're encountering the challenges of provision, we are still thinking from the perspective of God is big, God is generous, God is faithful. God promises to take care of me, hallelujah. He's taken care of me in the past, and he will take care of me in the present and in the future. I'm good because I belong to God, and God is faithful, amen? So here's the thing, the bountiful eye is actually deeply connected to our entire life, and it is possible to live with Jesus but not have a bountiful eye. In fact, what I want to do for a few moments is actually highlight how the disciples who would become apostles had to learn to develop a bountiful eye. They had to learn how to see the world even though they were in the very presence of the King of Glory. And many, many times, after seeing miracles, they still didn't see the way God wanted them to see. So let me give you a couple of quick examples. First of all, for example, remember when they were on the boat and Jesus was sleeping in the boat and there was a great storm and they began to panic and then they wake Jesus up and said, aren't you concerned about us? We're going to drown. Like, could you really drown with Jesus in the boat, right? But what is it that you're seeing? You're seeing the storm and you're not seeing God. They were not recognizing the immensity, the power, the glory. They couldn't have been in a safer place than in that boat during that storm. And so it's possible to be right next to Jesus, but actually not have a bountiful eye. A bountiful eye sees God as huge and great and powerful. How are you seeing the Lord today? Listen, there was another time when there were thousands of people, and they said to the Lord, hey, you got to send these people away because they're going to starve in the desert. How could people starve in the presence of Jesus? But see, they didn't have a bountiful eye, and so Jesus used it as a moment for them to learn. And by the way, one of the ways to look at your trials, the next time a trial hits, maybe you should pause and say, okay, God, how do you want me to see this moment? God, help me right now as I'm going through this. Help me to walk through this, seeing it with a bountiful eye, with bountiful eyes, saying, wait a second, God is up to something. God is big, God is faithful, God is powerful, and I'm going to rest in who God is instead of worry or stress or panic the way we so often tend to. And obviously, you know that Jesus said, give me that little boy's lunch and watch me feed 10,000. How many know little is much when God is in it? Come on, somebody say amen to that. Little is much. The little that you have, God is able to multiply it if we live by faith. And then here's the last one, but this one I'm actually going to put it up for you because this one speaks specifically to the act of giving. Mark 14 says this, while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. Imagine rebuking a woman for worshiping Jesus. What would cause a person to do that? It's not seeing with the right eyes. But watch this. Jesus says, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me." You see, it's possible to be in the same room with Jesus and see something as a waste when Jesus sees it as worship. So powerful. Like, I believe it's a challenge to even how we worship. See, some people belittle worship, not recognizing that Jesus sees it as a beautiful thing. When you sing to the Lord, when you lift your hands, when you give to the Lord, He sees it as a beautiful thing. Now, in our minds, if we're not thinking spiritually, unless the Lord baptizes us with these special kind of eyes, then we will have all of this hesitation and all of this. We think we're being responsible by not giving. But see, a bountiful eye is different. A bountiful eye thinks about who God is, and it thinks about eternity. It thinks about greater than just this moment and self-preservation. A bountiful eye thinks about the heart and the hands of God. And so listen, this ought to be encouraging to you. If the disciples struggled with this, so can you. And lots of people, when it comes to serving the Lord, one of the last things that they give to God is their wallet. And I want to encourage you, give the wallet. Give your wallet to the Lord. Trust God. And know that there are so many different slices to your faith life. There's your family life, and there's your private life, and there's your career. There's all of these different slices. Well, this slice of giving, the slice of honoring God with your resources is vitally important, and there is great blessing that is released into your life when you develop a bountiful eye. And so I want to look at two ways that we can develop a bountiful eye, because again, it's not very natural to us. We're so bent on self-preservation, and we're so bent on wrestling and battling for provision. This is from heaven down. This is something different. This is faith believing that God really is our provider. And since God is our provider, we can be really, really generous in so many ways. Okay, so first of all, a bountiful eye trusts in His provisional declarations. I know that that's a mouthful, but when it comes to provision in the Bible, God doesn't just make promises. He makes declarations. Like, God is emphatic when He speaks about what He will do when it comes to our giving. And I want to put two of those declarations in front of you. One is going to be from the Old Testament, and then the other will be from the New Testament. And in Malachi chapter 3, this is one of those anchor verses about just pure essential giving. But I want you to think about the declaration. So watch this. It says, Malachi 3 verse 10 says, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts." right? See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. Your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. So let me unpack this very quickly. So here God says, trust me with a tithe, honor my house, and guess what? I will honor your house. You trust me with a little, you trust me with a tithe, and honor my house. The Bible says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. What is the tithe? The tithe is 10%. It means that when they would reap from their crops or from any form of income, they would right off the top, they would honor God and bring 10% of that. Now, you might say, wow, I can't even imagine that. But see, now we're crossing over into the realm of faith. Now we're crossing over into the realm of where we believe that our God is truly a great provider. And God says, here's what he's saying. He says, honor me with the tithe. Trust me, right? Build my house. And then here's the declaration. Number one, right? I will open up the windows of heaven and I will bless you until there's no more need. He declares that he will bless us until there's no more need. He makes another declaration. He says, I will rebuke the devourer for you. The one who's coming after your stuff, the one who's coming after your life. He says, I will rebuke the one who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And I will make your fields very, very fruitful. And people will look and say, oh my goodness, you are so blessed. And you will say, you know why I'm so blessed? I'm so blessed because of how good Jesus is. Hallelujah. He is faithful and he is able. You know, I was in the house the other day, and Chrissy says to me, she goes, this faucet, we've had this faucet for 16 years, and it looks brand new, and it works perfect. And you might say, come on, your faucet. Listen, I don't know about you, but I rejoice in every little way that God blesses me. God can keep your faucets brand new. God can keep our cars. God can keep, you know, the Bible says they were in the desert for 40 years and their sandals did not wear out. What is that? That is the preserving power of our good and generous God. He says, test me and see if I won't preserve your stuff. I will protect you and I will make you so blessed and so prosperous. That's what the Bible says. And I want to encourage you to pray and say, Lord, I want to cross over from thinking that I have to provide for myself. I want to cross over into trusting you to provide. This is where it is. This is where the rubber meets the road. And I want you to know, I remember the first time I started to give 40 years ago and how instant the miraculous blessing of God started to be released into my life. I was just, it's just so good. And by the way, when you tithe, you just rest because you've put your eggs in the right basket. You've said, Lord, I'm looking to you to take care of me. I'm not trying to take care of me. I'm not looking to the government to take care of me. I'm not looking to politics. I'm not looking to the world economy. You can keep me in any economy. You are my heavenly Father, and your hands are big and generous. Hallelujah. Here's another one. Philippians 4, 18 and 19. Listen to this. I love this. I've got this one in the Good News Translation because how it's been phrased. The Apostle Paul received an offering from the Philippians, and here's what he says. Here then is my receipt for everything you have given, and it has been more than enough. I have all I need now that Epaphroditus has brought me all your gifts. They are like a sweet-smelling offering to God. When we just gave, when we give with grateful hearts, it's like a sweet-smelling offering to God. It says, a sacrifice which is acceptable and pleasing to him. And watch this. And with all his abundant wealth, through Christ Jesus, my God will supply all your needs. Now that is a declaration, right? And with all his abundant wealth, through Christ Jesus, my God will supply all your needs. And so when you think about developing a bountiful eye, you know what the essence is, right? The essence is trusting in what God has declared. And I want to encourage you, trust in the declarations of God. He is faithful. And whenever I think about this particular topic, I get so jealous that the family of God, the family of God that's joining in from Philadelphia, hello Philly Tabernacle, we're so excited that we could be joining together today. Like, God promises to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Here in Chicago, people online, he promises to supply. He declares that he will do it, and he's able. How many know? He is more than able. Praise be to the living God. Okay, send me a keyboard player. We're almost done here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I say this to you? There's a verse in Luke chapter 16. You could look this up later, but I have it in my notes. In Luke 16, 11, it says this. So, if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Imagine how God says, however you handle your money partially indicates if you're ready to handle the true eternal riches. And so we want to deal in all of the riches of eternity. Amen. We want to stand before God on that day and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. On that day, you know, so much of what we're concerned about, all of it, it'll be like nothing once we see him face to face. And so, just know the bountiful eye presumes upon the provision of God, knowing that the Bible says he reigns on the righteous and the unrighteous. If he takes care of the unrighteous, how much more will he take care of us who are living by faith? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I always think about Abraham. I see Abraham thinking to himself as he's going to the mountain, everything I need will be there when I get there. That's the kind of God you serve. Everything that you need, should you live for another month, do you know what you need will be there when you get there? Next week, do you know what you need will be there when you get there? Why? Because we serve a generous, good, kind, loving God. Hallelujah. Okay, here's the second thing. A bountiful eye enjoys, everybody say enjoys. A bountiful eye enjoys being like the Father. So when you know that you have a bountiful eye, when you get such a kick out of giving, you get so excited to bless people, to bless the Lord. For you, given it shall be given is so real, and you know that you can never outgive God. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will himself be refreshed. I was talking to Pastor Jake about this, and You know, he got saved early on in the early days of CT. I don't know, you know, close to 20 years ago. And so he went to visit a friend. I think it might have been in California. And he kept paying for everything. And his friend was like, "What's wrong with you, man?" And he's like, no, I got to pay for everything. And his friend said, "Why? What happened?" And he said, "Well, I read this verse in the Bible. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." And his friend, to this very day, he was telling me, every time he sees his friend is wrestling with him to see who's going to pay the bill. And he's like, "Come on, let me pay the bill." He's like, no. He says, "I got to get refreshed." He said, "I'm getting in on that." And you know what? Even though it's interesting, because even though maybe his friend doesn't really serve the Lord, he has grabbed hold of the principle that there is a generous one who watches over us. And when we act like him, he blesses us. Hallelujah. He is faithful to bless us. And we serve a God who's generous, and he is so pleased when we act like him. You know, I can't help but think about growing up in a really rough neighborhood, you know, such challenging constraints. And I remember saying to my dad, "Hey, Dad, could you give me a ride in your car?" And my dad used to always say, "My car." He goes, "That's your car." He said, "If it's mine, it's yours." He says, "You can't drive it now because you're a little kid, but that's your car. Everything I have is yours." I can't tell you how that would make me feel. And I want you to know, maybe you didn't grow up with a dad like that. Maybe you grew up in the context of fear of giving and generosity. I want you to know your heavenly Father's heart for you is wide open. And he shares with you. He cares for you. And if you will be generous like your heavenly Father, he will give you more and more and more to give. You will not lack. So that kind of eye gets such a kick out of generosity. There's so much joy released when we live a life of giving to others, when we're finding ways to bless other people, because we know when we bless other people, we're acting like our Heavenly Father. Can I encourage you this very day? Make someone's day by being generous. You know, if you go out or in the days ahead, buy someone lunch randomly. Buy them coffee randomly. Watch what it does to them. People need so much love. And if you've received, haven't you received so much love from God? Well, share that love. Watch it open doors. But more than that, the joy that it brings when we give. So look, here's the way I want to close before we go into communion. Here's three expressions of a bountiful eye. Number one, be sure to give to God. Line up your faith life when it comes to your finances. Do it God's way and watch God bless you. Number two, give love to others. That's something that you can do so immediately. Love people, but love them generously. Offer up like seriously generous, major generosity to people in different expressions of love. And watch the room change. Watch their heart change. Watch your heart change. Watch the quality of your life. You know, the interesting thing is you don't have to be financially wealthy to be generous with love. And yet it makes you wealthy. It makes you spiritually wealthy. And then here's the last thing as we go to close, and this is the perfect segue into communion. Give to God, give love to others, but give forgiveness. And the reason why I'm posturing it in the context of giving is because forgiveness is a gift from God. He shows us mercy and he chooses to forgive. And when we, and because we have received the gift of forgiveness, we too, just like our Heavenly Father, are called to offer the gift of forgiveness. So powerful. You realize that part of the way he rebukes the devourer is through different forms of giving, not just tithing. When you give the gift of forgiveness, you're rebuking division. Some people, they live with division because they won't give the gift of forgiveness, right? You want the devil, the spirit of division out of your house? Forgive. Don't allow for division to remain. Yes, if it's within your power, and it is, choose to forgive. Choose to erase the record just like Jesus erased your record. Aren't you happy that Jesus, he washes, he puts the sin under the blood and he washes it away.